Blog Talk Radio.
Hola, hola, hello, hello.
Oh my.
Hola. How is everyone doing today?
Grandmother.
Do you know what hola means?
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you. No, I'm talking to the computer.
Well, you said how is everyone doing today, I mean, so that's...
Oh, dang, that was a major giveaway. I should have not said that afterwards, huh?
How is it a giveaway?
Because then I translated it in English, and then you knew what I was saying. But if I had not said that afterwards, and I would have just said hola, would you have known what I was saying?
I'm pretty sure everyone wouldn't...
The whole world?
A good majority of people who know.
All right, let's take a survey. Let's do it right now. If you guys know what hola means, call us up right now. The number is... Actually, I don't know what the number is. Oh, 347-677-0803. Or you can tweet us at AZRabbitHole. Or you can go on our Facebook page and talk to us there. I mean, there's a lot of ways you guys can get in touch with us, you know? So now that we all have cleared up what hola means, how's everyone doing? How are you doing? I mean, these people can't talk back to me. So what are you doing? How's life? What's going on?
Life is fantastic, Mother. How are you?
You know what? Life has been incredibly a miraculous experience. Every single day, I'm very grateful for waking up. And then there's moments that, you know, I lose that gratitude because I have children like you and
you're screaming for unnecessary Blog Talk Radio working.
Yeah, there was some technical difficulties tonight with this machine. And so you can never count on technology because you don't know what's going to happen. So you got to always be prepared with plan B, C, D, E, F, G. And we managed to do that tonight, which I'm really proud of. You know, I always keep my calm, unlike my friend.
Oh, you always keep your calm?
Pretty much. I mean, when you're talking about a wise...
That's interesting.
A wise sage that sees beyond, you know, this whole...
I hope everyone knows that she's being sarcastic and not being serious.
And I love saying these things, especially to you, because you get so... Your panties get up in such a bunch, like, because you get so, like, Mom, there's your ego. And, you know, we already talked about this right before. I am way on the right mind of the universe, and you live on the left mind. There's got to be a middle. I mean, this is not, like, there's no gray area, like 50 shades. It's just right there. It's either you're right-minded or left-minded. You know, I'm an avid, yes, I'm an avid student. Always
you're an avid student.
Yes, that means that I'm committed to the practice of A Course in Miracles.
Oh, you're committed?
Yes.
So you live by it every single
day? No, I don't live by it. What I mean is that I learn it. I pick it up every single day. Heck no, I wish. That would not be like an enlightened master walking on water. But what the Course in Miracles says...
Thank you, Mother, man.
I'm serious. The Course in Miracles says there's only two choices in life. Either you're in love or you're in fear. There's no in between. There's no like, oh, I feel a little bit lovable and a little. Every choice you have a choice.
You know what? But there's also the yin and the yang, and we have our bad days, and we should embrace them instead of living in a.
I'm not telling you that I always pick the choice of love. I'm not telling you that as humans
we
do that.
You said there's only one decision.
We have free will to make that decision. All of us have that power. All of us do. I'm not telling you me particularly that I live in love all the time.
Free will has been a big debate for thousands of years.
So what do you mean by that?
Some people don't think that we have any. It's just inside us to do what to do to live.
So what? Without free will, so it means that we're just like puppets in this world? We have no free will. Our lives are created, you know, spontaneously.
I mean...
Some people believe that.
Some people believe...
Well, I don't believe that. And especially not after this whole flotation tank experience with sensory deprivation. There's just nothing that I believe the same as I used to, and it's a combination of the spiritual practice that I'm in every single day, and as well as, and all of us are in a spiritual practice every single day. I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm better than everyone because I have the spiritual practice. Everyone, you know what's cool? That a spiritual practice is not necessarily even like praying or meditating or reading a book. A spiritual practice is just me and you right now. It's seeing this other person and engaging with another human being. And you know why that's a spiritual practice? Because that's a mirror. That's a reflection. So I love, because whatever that other person is reflecting onto you, it's what's happening inside of your heart. So regardless if you want to be a victim and say, hey, I'm upset because this person is a prejudice, he's racist, he's angry, the bottom line is that the reason that this person is in front of you in those ways is a reflection of what you feel inside. And a lot of people think that that's unfair because, you know, there's a lot of people that are victims of injustice. Of course, that does occur. But at the same time, it's also a reflection of what's going on inside of you so that you can start taking the steps to move forward and change it all, right? You do have, I really do believe that it's, and it's in our power and it's in our choice. It's been taught in many different ways. You know, there's different, I believe in parallel universes where all of a sudden you have a choice to either go this way, go that way, and go this way. It could go, you could suffer or you could make all your dreams a reality, but it takes a lot of conviction and it takes a lot of mind training. And that's why I love A Course in Miracles, because it literally, it's not like I'm taking in all this information. What it's doing is it's undoing all the bullshit that I've picked up in the last, you know, I don't want to say my age because I'm, you know, I'm young.
38.
I'm not 38. I'm 34, you ass. That's horrible. Not that 38, there's something wrong with being 38, but I'm not there yet. I used to have a big problem with age, actually. I didn't like getting older, especially when I turned 30.
A lot of people.
Do you?
I mean, nah, kind of.
I think it happens for everyone at a different age, you know, kind of like reality kicks
I'm
in.
I'm going through my midlife crisis now, man.
Oh, almost 17, and he's going through his, I think you have several midlife crises throughout, and you're just an old soul.
I'm not an old soul. Relax with that.
Whatever. People have told you that before, and I tell you that, too. And there's nothing like, oh, you're better than someone else because you're an old soul. It's just it. Just accept yourself for who you are. I don't even know how we got here, but let's go back. I want to talk about, we finally did it. I mean, can you give me another high five? Amen, hallelujah.
Amen, hallelujah.
We have been talking about sensory deprivation tanks, and actually, I was not aware of what, I had never heard of this, but I do have a 16-year-old son that likes to get into a lot of stuff, and he was talking to me about this from the Joe Rogan.
Powerful Joe Rogan Experience podcast.
Yeah, so I remember the day that you told me I want to experience this, and it was before Christmas because that's what we got to as a Christmas present, but we never attended. You know, we had been so busy and everything that was happening with our lives. But this last weekend, we had the opportunity to actually experience this, and I want to talk a lot about it because there's a lot of paradigm shifts that happened within my mind about all of this. And I've always learned to understand that a miracle is a paradigm shift. That's what a miracle is. If you have a shift of perception in your mind from fear to love, that's a miracle. So I really feel like this whole experience, and thank you for telling me about this. I can't believe I didn't teach you. That does not happen usually, but
all right.
I'm kidding. You have to teach me a lot.
No.
And we finally did this, and we finally went to check it out. But I want to tell, before anything, what is a sensory deprivation tank? Because some people have heard of it. It's been around since 1954, actually. And lately, it's become a lot more popular. I think it has to do with the podcasts. I'm like Rogan and other people talking about it because it's getting out into mainstream America, which I think is awesome because I see it as an alternative medicine, really a practice that all of us should at least try once. But what is it? What is a sensory deprivation tank?
Well, all right, John Lilly, he first made it to, it was like kind of like a giant, like a scuba, like one of those old school scuba tanks on your head. He created to like get rid of all your, to experience sensory, to deprive all your sensories. So, and that came to what it is now. It's just like giant, depends on something like a circle or just a tank.
A tank, huh?
where it's filled with salt water and just, it's a dark little room where you float in it. Mm-hmm. And then the water is just your skin temperature. So you're just...
Salt water.
Salt water.
Oh, you said that?
Yeah. And yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. And when you think about the word sensory deprivation, the experience really, that's what it is described as. So you're in... it almost looks like a coffin. It freaked me out. We didn't go in those round-looking ones. By the way, we went to Vitality in Chandler. Yeah. And those girls were really nice. So if you guys want to check this out, go there, and we'll give you more information here at the end. But, you know, it wasn't those round-looking ones. It was more like it looked like a coffin, dude. It was kind of freaky. And it was inside of a room.
It's a bulky coffin.
A very bulky coffin. And it was inside of a room that was dark, and there was like a fireplace thing on the wall, and there was a shower in there because you're supposed to make sure you don't have...
Clean up all the makeup or just like the...
Your makeup especially.
Oh, yeah, mine. Or just like the deodorant or any like things that you put on your body. Just clean and rinse out your body off. Then you also going to take a shower after to take out the sod off.
Yeah, make sure you go without any makeup or anything like that, because I went with a full face of makeup and I was wearing jeans, but just go comfortable, because I didn't do a lot of research beforehand. I just kind of heard you talk about it, and when I heard sensory deprivation, I thought, well, that sounds exciting. To me, you know, think about the word sensory deprivation. You're literally removing all of your physical senses from your experience. So that already kind of intrigued me. I was like, what the heck is this? But coming in there, I really hadn't researched as much, I think, as you had heard more about it.
I wasn't that much research, just heard from the experience of Joe Rogan.
And so when we got there, we really didn't know what was going to happen. And we took turns because we took Damien with us, my wonderful son. He's not your wonderful son, but he's your wonderful brother who loves you so much dearly. And he's out playing football with Daddy right now. But we went in there. And I said, you go first, because I'm kind of like, what the hell did we get ourselves into? And, you know, you go in there, and just to let you guys know, this particular one costs $60 an hour. There's others, and I don't think they do shorter times, but I'm sure you can get like 2 or 3 hours if you want. And they also have monthly memberships. So, but don't, like, listen to the rest of this, because it's really important. So when you're getting there, it's a completely dark room, you know, and I thought you were supposed to wear a bathing suit, so we took our bathing suits.
Yeah, I better make sure.
I didn't know, because we had seen some pictures. I had seen some pictures, but I guess, obviously, they're not going to put a naked person on the pictures of a flotation tank advertisement. So you go in there, and for 60 minutes, you're literally just floating in salt water. And I don't. You want to start with your experience, kind of what you felt?
All right. So the first 20 minutes, they're playing music. 20 minutes, correct?
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then just, like, get you relaxed, classical, like, music, and just you're sitting there. So that's, you're pretty much, that's your only sense right there at the time, listening to and hearing. But until then, at the beginning, I kind of, I got the water in my mouth and stuff. It was just, like, basic my mistakes. It wasn't anything about the tank or anything. So I heard this video from Headspace, this app, and it was like,
it's an app.
Yeah. So
what kind of app is that?
It's a meditation app.
Oh, cool. Headspace.
Yeah.
How come you haven't told me about that?
I don't know.
Okay.
All right, and it's a good the video just sums it up. So it just says how your mind is a pool. And just like how in raining and like the wind, it makes the pool cloudy and stuff, and until you make it still. And once you still, you could see beneath the surface.
Ooh.
And so I believe my mind was pretty cloudy for the good. I don't even know how much time, because you lose your grasp on time. You feel, it felt very short in there. I didn't think it went by so fast. But anyways. Okay. So I guess my mind was kind of cloudy for a good amount of time in there. I was just waiting through the, like, just the minor thoughts until I got past all that stuff, and it was just, like, me into, like, I guess the basic fundamentals of my mind. And my favorite part of it is just, like, just getting disattached from all the, like, outside forces, just you and your consciousness flowing in this giant universe. It's really interesting. I didn't have any like visions. You commonly hear like if you have any like sort of psychedelic visions, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because, do you know how we were talking about the mushrooms and how they instead of adding more stuff to your mind, it's just the basic fundamentals. And just like they actually stop stuff. Yeah, it stops your brain from working for some stuff.
Oh, yes.
I think it's kind of the same thing because you're disattached from all that and just like it stops things going on. So that's the like the basic visions that you see when your mind's completely just disattached from.
So what do you
else.
Well, you see? What it's just kind of like stillness, kind of.
I guess some people see geometry or some people just see, like, waves and stuff like that. I don't think I really saw that much of that. Towards the end, I kind of started seeing, like, some things just, like, swerving around.
Did you have your eyes open or closed during your experience?
My eyes were closed the whole time. The very first beginning, the 10 minutes, I kind of got some water in my eye. not a good time. Kind of stung. So I had a.
Why were you moving around a lot, or what?
I guess I was just like, I couldn't really relax at the beginning, but then I did have to get out for a little bit and just squirt my eyes with the fresh water.
Oh, they have a little thing
that
there.
They provide you with, and so it was just all human mistakes, my mistakes. It wasn't anything that the tank was doing. I mean,
right.
But yeah, and then pretty much, so. After the thing, it was weird. I didn't hear my heartbeat at all.
When it was done, you mean?
No, like when
during.
I was during.
Uh-huh. We're talking during right now.
Yeah. My heart wasn't, I didn't hear my heart at all. But I did hear my brain. It was like throbbing. I don't know what
was
up with
that. Was it hurting?
No, it wasn't hurting. I mean, it was just, I felt like pulsing.
Oh.
That was kind of interesting. I don't know what was up with that.
Hmm.
Let's see what else. I mean, yeah. Do you want to talk about yours? I'll try
to
remember some stuff.
So during my experience, because we're going to talk about we talked about the before. I want to talk about the during, and then I want to talk to you guys. We want to talk to you all about the after effects. And so my during experience was a little bit different because I'm not a claustrophobic person. I really am not. And I can say that word usually, but I guess not on Thursdays on a podcast. And I'm not that person. But, you know, when they showed me where I was going to go in and for 60 minutes and in water, I was like, what the hell? So first of all, I was really concerned with the temperature of the water because I am a big freak on cold. I hate cold water. Like, even in Arizona, it gets to 105, 110, 115. And I won't jump in the pool unless it's like 110. Because I don't like cold water. I hate cold water. So I thought, great, you know, it's body temperature, but I don't know what the hell that means. And so they put me in this dark room with this beautiful music, and I thought, this does not look beautiful. You're telling me that I'm supposed to go inside that tank for 60 minutes, and what the hell am I supposed to do in there? Then number two is, like, I'm not a really good swimmer. I don't consider myself a good swimmer. So I'm like, what is going to happen in there? So I did what I had to do, and as I was climbing in there, I was thankful that you went first, and you told me to be careful because it is really slippery. You got to be really careful when you're walking in there. It's salt water, and inside it's just like this white tank, and it has a door that you open up to get in there. So literally it looks, I mean, it's like a coffin with a door at the end by the feet. It's crazy. So then you open the door, and as I was walking in there, I just was very happy to feel the water because it actually was comfortable. It was not hot. But it wasn't cold. It was perfect. So I thought, okay. And it felt very slippery and very, I don't know, it was weird, like just soft. And so I lay down, and I forgot about putting the earplugs in my ear. Did you do that?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. No, that's the very beginning. I didn't have any, and it did go in my ear, and that was kind of irritating at first.
Oh, you did put them on then?
No, I didn't at the beginning. After that's when I got out to spray my eyes and stuff. That's that's when I put them in too.
I totally forgot about the earplugs, dude. And I went in there and I laid down. And I'm not kidding you, for the first 3 minutes, I struggled a lot. Like, first of all, I didn't put my head all the way down where my ears were underneath the water, because the water is not where you can drown. You know, it's not, it doesn't even cover, well, it probably does cover your nose if you go all the way down, but it's halfway filled. So it's not like all the way to the top, you know. And so it was very difficult for me to trust and to put my ears in the damn water. So for like 2 minutes, my neck was hurting so bad because I was just kind of like lying in there like, this is crazy. What am I doing here? I had closed the door and it's dark in there. You can't hear anything. I mean, you can't see anything. And quite honestly, I didn't want to open my eyes. It was like when I was a little girl and I was scared of the cucuy. You know, the cucuy is like the devil that was going to come take us away and bury us, or La Llorona, the lady that killed her mom. All you used to hear all these folklore stories. So all that stuff started coming back. Not only that, me not being claustrophobic, I started freaking out. I started getting all this anxiety. Like, what the hell am I doing here? I should not be doing this. This is not cool. Then I figured out, you know, put your head all the way down and just relax. You know, you paid for this already. You're here for the experience. Relax. So I started breathing, taking in really deep breaths to control my fear. And I finally was able to relax enough to actually put my ears underneath the water. Now, when that started happening, my neck stopped hurting, and I could still hear the music going on, you know, because they play it for 10 minutes, and then they take it away. And that was really cool. But I never had the earphones in my ear. I always was just in there like that. So the first 10 minutes when I was struggling a lot. I was scared. I was claustrophobic. I had all these thoughts in my head, like, why the hell did I do this? You know, I could be getting a massage. I could be doing something else. But then I thought, okay, this is a perfect experience for you to face your fears and to just learn to relax and let the thoughts go, because this is very unique. And so I finally learned to relax. And then within like a minute, they turned off the music, because I could still hear it. Even being underneath the water, I could hear it. So when the music turned off, it was completely quiet and dark. And I would not open my eyes because I was scared to see like a spirit or something. I was freaking out. And I kept my eyes closed completely. And when the music went out, that's when I really had to find my power. You know, that's when I had to completely just relax and not freak out. I thought, there was times when I thought, well, what if I die in here? And I thought, well, there's no natural disasters in Arizona. I mean, there's not going to be an earthquake or a hurricane. So the only way I could die is if somebody comes in here and like shoots me, I guess. But I guess it could happen. My mind was going crazy, like for the first 10 minutes. And then when I finally like learned to just like be with it, I started to just float. Like what that means is like more than anything, I didn't have control of my body. It was kind of touching the sides a little bit sometimes. And when that happened, then I was reminded, hey, you have a body. But then as it progressed, dude, it was insane, because I literally felt like I didn't have a body. I didn't know where my limbs were. I didn't know where my legs and head was. I just felt like I was this floating consciousness in the universe. And when I started feeling that, then I thought, well, then who am I? And I started asking all these questions. Who am I? I did a Padre Nuestro in there, a prayer. And I started asking God to really help me understand why I was here. So I did include a lot of prayer in mine, because of the fear first. And second, because I thought, well, what the hell am I? I'm not even this person here anymore. So like you said, it went by very fast, 60 minutes. At first, I thought maybe they had, you know, because they start playing the music for you to get out. So I thought, what if they played it already? That was towards the end, I think. But I can tell you that it did not feel like 60 minutes. And I can tell you that I was getting some visions and hallucinations. I was seeing, like you said, the geometry, or I was seeing triangles, a lot of triangles. Even though my eyes were completely closed, I could see a lot of different triangles, like, in my consciousness. And I don't know what that means or anything, but it was very surreal. And I thought, you know, I thought that all of us humans have this huge misconception as to who and what we are. And that, you know, I have barely scratched the surface of exploring that. So it was very, very surreal. And when they started playing the music again, I was like, I'm out of here. So the minute they started playing the music, I just opened the door. And you go take a shower and you're like super soft. My skin was super soft, and my hair too, because you get completely wet. If you wear contacts, take your glasses, because I had my contacts on. And no salt water got into my eyes, but because I had them closed for such a long time, it really felt really dry. I was kind of in a daze when I came out of there. I don't know about you, but I didn't know how to react. I went over there to pay the girl and everything, and they were like, no, how are you? And there was another person waiting. By the way, they was busy that day. They had like 6 floats scheduled. I mean, it went back to back to back. And they're very good about cleaning it out and all of that. I watched them do it, actually. But when I went over there to pay, I was just like, what the hell just happened? And I didn't know what to think or say. So I told her it was great. And I got in the car and I went to go pick you guys up from Barnes & Noble. And I understand now why you didn't have a lot of words afterwards, because it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. I know it's not good to compare, but like I'm kind of like jealous of your experience. It seems like you have more of like a spiritual outlook. For me, it was just like more like physical. Like my body just like got kind of like rejuvenated, you know? And like I heard my neck crap like multiple times.
No way.
Like my body just felt like it was just like, I don't know, it was just like, I guess, realigning itself. But that's probably the biggest part that I got out of it.
Well, I think the fear made me really start praying, because I was so afraid of I just felt really like in such a tight space and in the darkness. And then my mind is very busy as it is. So it was very scary to shut it down. But I did. There was a point during my float where all my dreams, especially because I have a vision board, since I said I can't still my mind, because I couldn't get it to be quiet. It was just like so all over the place. I thought, well, at least I might as well think of stuff that, you know, that's positive or that's good. So I started to envision like all my dreams on my vision board. And, you know, what I did get from it was that how easy it was to accomplish them. So when you have dreams, one of the biggest obstacles that you have is figuring out the how, right? You have all these dreams and you're like, well, how is it going to happen? And that usually is what prevents you from actually accomplishing them. So in there, I can tell you that without a doubt and with full conviction, I just saw how easy it was to create all of them. And it was, there's some very big dreams that I have in my heart that we had it all wrong as humans, that we struggle so much and that we seek so much. Yet the answer really is that life is simple, and that through stillness and through being quiet and through just relaxing, there's so much more that you can get accomplished. We're a society of action, 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 get, get, when there's no ever a time to just be still and appreciate already what life is. Because when you're in that mode of get, your life is a flash. It passes over you, and then all of a sudden, you're like that movie Click, you know, where he has a remote control that takes him to when he's already dying and he's missed all of his children's affairs. He's gotten a divorce, and it was all about the work. And so there was a lot of messages for me on relax and life is simple. Like, why are you making such a big deal out of everything? And there's much more. There's a lot more beyond this world that you see with your eyes. Like, this world does not exist. You're the only thing that's real, and you're like a child of God. Why wouldn't you be able to deserve everything that you desire? It was really, really cool, really cool. And all of that, you know, I was trying to remember all of it, but of course I can't. But there was a lot of moments of peace, of just, I'm not worried, you know. Did you find that at all?
Peace. Towards the end, I definitely did. I just kind of felt like I was just like REM sleeping, and it just felt like completely relaxed and just like at one with the water, like literally.
Mm.
It felt, that was very peaceful.
Well, think about it. I mean, sensory deprivation, you have no access to your physical realm. And so when that happens, I mean, you open up your creativity, you open up your peaceful nature. I think you open up, you know, even we talked about this before, but it literally feels like you're in the womb. Like, you're still not a human dealing with society and the conditioning of the ego. You're literally floating in this very calm water. And I can only imagine that could be like what a baby feels like, you know, when the baby's growing in the mommy's stomach. Just complete peace and no worries about how am I going to get my food. So, yeah, it really just feels, we got disconnected there for a minute. It just feels like you're there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing for you to stress out about. There's just just there's so much peace and stillness that it's a miracle that people have not heard about this before. This is what I really consider more of an alternative medicine. You know, recently I heard Marianne Williamson say something that really struck me. And she said, I don't know how people do it nowadays without a spiritual practice. We live in a world where we're exposed to so much information, and especially with the media, it's not very positive. It's like all of a sudden everybody thinks we live in this world where all we're doing is killing each other, all we're doing is starvation. There's very little hope to change this all around. There's terrorists, there's murderers and all that. But you're only being fed that information. You're not being fed the information of the guy that I saw today on Facebook that took a homeless man to eat. You're not seeing how several activist groups are helping through for starvation, or all those nonprofits that are doing all that. You don't get exposed to any of that. You only get exposed to what's going to sell you the news, right? And so what Marianne Williamson says is, I don't understand how people get through every single day without some type of spiritual practice. And it's just, and then she said, oh wait, I do know, because the pharmaceutical industry has been doing a great job of making sure that every child and adult has an antidepressant prescribed to them to help them with things that are all spiritual problems. And she didn't call them spiritual problems. I'm calling them spiritual problems, because I believe that any problem we have in this world is a spiritual, there is a spiritual solution for it. And so I was very shocked to hear that, because I am thinking, you know, all these people that they have, they need that experience of God. They want peace, even if you're an atheist. There's atheists that even little, they don't believe in God, they still practice love every single day. And to me, that is God. You know, they have loving relationships. They have compassion towards other. You know, God is not like a man from the sky that all of a sudden comes down and solves all your problems. God speaks to you in so many different ways, through books, through people, through so many different ways. You know, why do we accept an antidepressant pill that was created by man, which has a zillion side effects? I mean, one of them being that it could kill you, literally. We're not treating the cause. What we're doing is just prolonging and giving people a little bit more time to live. And it's not even like a good life to live. It's not like, oh, you're going to go on a vacation and you're going to live at least the last 5 years. Really,
zombified.
You're zombified. And this is very sad.
Including with veterans. I heard a podcast recently with the Warrior Poet.
The what?
It's called the Warrior Poet podcast with Aubrey Marcus. And he had a veteran on. He was talking about alternative ways. Like he said that he'd been through all this PTSD, and like he had back problems and stuff. And he had like on any pill imaginable. But then he got to this alternative medicine, which is majority was Kundalini yoga.
Oh, I love Kundalini.
And also he talked about sensory deprivation tanks, and how I definitely don't know like all the science behind it, but magnesium inside the water definitely like helped. It was extremely beneficial to their back and to their body, and like he needed that, those chemicals inside his body too, to rejuvenate him.
Yeah, I read about a doctor actually who said that a lot of athletes use this to actually recover from injuries and from just the stress of the body from over training, and they use it to actually heal the physical body. I mean, it's shown and proven.
I wish I remembered what, like, but like, and the NFL teams have this too, and us in their locker room.
Yes, and I want one for my house. Are you kidding me? And there's so many other benefits. It's not just the physical, it's the mental state. It's not that we've become a society that we trust our doctors, right? And I don't say, God, I don't know what I would do if I had cancer and they told me you have to get chemotherapy. You know, I would say no right now. I'm telling you right now, no. But I don't know what I would do, and I don't judge anyone else for getting it. Because what else? There's no other solution, right? I don't say that medicine doesn't always work, because there are some cases where these antidepressants have helped people live at least a longer life, or at least a little more peaceful, you know? But the majority, why don't we see that all of these shootings and killings and everything that's happening, they never talk about that all these people were on antidepressants. They never say that. No, but they're quick to say they were on marijuana, or they were drinking, or they were doing this and that. Why don't we hear the rest, you know?
Yeah, of course, we've talked about this before, and how just like the pharmaceutical business is just like pretty awful. But luckily, these alternative medicines definitely are becoming more in the limelight, and just like I really do believe that they should be taking their toll now, and they will be more prominent for everyone to use.
I'll tell you a very sad story, and your dad told me this story, and he said he was telling me how he has a client who is in special ed with children, and it's very sad actually. He was talking to her, and what she was saying was that, I'm sorry I didn't answer your call because it's been a crazy day. You know, one of the kids, like, literally ran off. We were trying to give him his medications, and he literally ran away. He doesn't want to take them. And so then your dad started talking to him about his experience, even with his own nephew, how when he was on that stuff, he would run away from the school. He didn't want them. Now, you know, fast forward 5 years later, he's the best kid in the world. He's completely mellow and not taking any meds at all. They were taken away from him. And can you imagine a little young child who can't really speak for himself and say, this stuff is hurting me so much? I mean, I guess there's cases where it's needed, but, I mean, there's alternatives. You can send him to a sensory deprivation tank once a week. You can teach them meditation. You can show them an experience with God. There's so many other things. And then more than anything, we think that because the child is hyperactive or has a lot of energy, your brother has always had a lot of energy. And never would I say there was a problem with him. You focus on the child's talents because all of us have them. You don't focus, you know, every mom and dad, what they do is if a child is excelling in math, they get him a tutor. But if a child excels in dance or soccer, they don't put him in there. But right away, if you're failing at something, so it's almost like society has been built to focus on the negative to fix it without really just applauding the positive. And what I'm saying is that there are alternatives. You don't have to, and please, I'm not a doctor. You know, don't stop taking your meds if you're prescribed them. But just research and find out, you know, the alternatives, because the most important thing is that antidepressants are created by man, and when something's created by man, the effects and the consequences really, they're not measured, and there's not a lot of.
Well, I mean, isolation things are created by man too, so I don't really.
But an isolation tank is not a chemical that you put in your body.
You could say the magnesium and the salt water that's going inside your body. I mean.
But it's, you know, what bothers me sometimes about medication is that there's a lot of disclosure afterwards. When you see a commercial, then it says, yes, it's going to fix this, and then you have 80 things that could happen to you, including death. You know, they're like, that's crazy. Why? Has someone else died about this, or do you guys need to disclose it? You know, like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Man.
And I don't even know why I have, why this mentality grew on me. I mean, I just believe that, you know, I guess I just believe that everything, there's a spiritual solution for everything. And I'm not saying that I don't have any problems, because I do. And I'm not saying that I don't take medicine personally, thank God. You know, the worst thing that I take is Tylenol or Advil, and that's not even often. I don't get headaches often, thank God. But when I was sick with the cold, you know, what I did was I went and I got a lot of sun, and I relaxed, and I took care of myself. And did I get better overnight? No, I got better in 4 days, but I didn't put any of that stuff inside of me, because there's alternative ways. You know, our medicine has evolved so much. And back in the day, you know, they didn't have all of this. And yes, our lifespan has been, it's a lot longer now, but there's alternatives, guys. And one of the things that I believe deeply in is meditation. And to me, this deprivation tank is kind of like the new technology for such things. Because when you're able to disconnect completely from the body, then I think you have this new reality of, as to, man, who am I really then? What is this? What is this thing that we call life? It's very surreal. So after the fact, now we're done. We did it. How do you feel now? Would you go back? What are your thoughts on it?
I don't know if necessarily I have, like, long-term effects for that with this one-term time. But I definitely did feel a lot, like, better in my body, just felt more relaxed, didn't feel as, like, tense, tension. The tension just, like, melted away pretty much. I definitely would love to go again, but probably try 2 hours or so to just, like, get really,
wow,
just, like, more into it, just, like, because I gotta say, like I said before, my mind was cloudy for, like, I don't know, I guess, like, half the time, and it wasn't until, like, the last 30 minutes till I was, like, really just, like, getting rid of all those unnecessary thoughts and just, like, really diving into, like, depths in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably want 2 hours or so. And yeah.
That's a lot. 2 hours? Yikes.
I mean, time really, you don't have any grasp of time, man. I mean, it's just
true. Even with meditation, when I started in meditation a very long time ago, I could only do, like, 5 minutes, then 8, then I went to 10, then I was at 12. Then I went to 15, and now, I mean, I do 20 minutes minimum, and sometimes I can do 35 and 40, you know, and it's literally sitting there, like, not doing anything else. So I feel like, yeah, it's definitely evolutionary. I'm definitely going to do this again. I think I need one a week, not one a month. And I really felt like I've had a great week. This whole week has been filled with miracles for me in so many ways. But I combine I don't know if it's because of that or because I did feel really clear, creative. I had, like, no fear this whole week. Well, I had some fear, but I dealt with it very in a different way. Before, with fear, I would become paralyzed. And now I was just like, no, there's a bigger purpose for you. You're not seeing with the right mind. So for me, it was very beneficial. Again, we'll definitely go back, and I think it's something that each and everyone should try at least once, because, I mean, that's what life is, exploring, trying new things that will help you, and why not invest in yourself? You know, we spend so much money on other stuff. I mean, if you can't spend $60 an hour for 1 hour, that's how much it costs us, even a month, then I guess you don't appreciate yourself enough. Honestly, because I didn't want to go... Well, we waste money on so many things, and I do, and I'm guilty of that, you know, on other things that I don't need. I'm buying, like, Deepak Chopra says, you know, I'm buying clothes to impress people that we don't even like, or, you know, or cars to make sure that everyone understands. Have you ever invested in yourself? I mean, to me, that was a big message. So I will definitely go back, and you can research any of them. They're all over the place now, thank God. And I would say try it out and really see, because I think you could really face some serious demons. I think you could open up your creativity. And more importantly, I think that you can find some inner peace and that you can see how simple life really is.
Thank you, Vitality. We'll put the link to the website right after this. And yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, guys, for the experience. And we hope that you all try it out. And if you have any questions, definitely tweet us, Facebook us, whatever you need to do. We'd love to discuss a little bit further with you. And we'll continue to post in additional times we go. Namaste. God bless. Have a fabulous rest of the week. And we'll see you in March.
See ya.
Rock on, dudes.